Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Yes, welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. Doing this, you'll see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome back Tori Hartman. She is the author of the number one best-selling Chakra Wisdom Oracle Cards, the Chakra Wisdom Oracle Toolkit, which is a 52-week journey of self-discovery with the Lost Fables. Tori is a world-renowned psychic, author, and spiritual teacher, and one of our most exciting authors. This is what Watkins Publishing says. Her Chakra Wisdom Oracle Cards skyrocketed up the Amazon charts, where they sat at number one in card decks and fortune-telling for more than 2 years, even before publication. Her ability as a reader to tap into another person's energy and gently offer suggestions goes farther than the person she is focusing on. Although her insights are deeply personal, everyone participating experiences the truth of her responses, and her style is unparalleled in her transparent, lovably human approach. She has a profound appreciation for those who are drawn to working with her. And tonight, Tori and I are going to have a dialogue. Before we take calls, we'll try to get to as many of you as we can, but we won't be getting to as many callers as might happen on a typical show because we are going to discuss a topic first. So please be patient and know that if we don't get to you, that you can get in touch with Tori at her website, and I'm going to give you that address right now. So hang in there, folks. I want to make sure you have your pens and pieces of paper ready. Okay, here's where you go. support@torihartman.com. Hartman is spelled H-A-R-T-M-A-N. So it's support@torihartman.com, and Tori is T-O-R-I. And on that subject, let me introduce Tori and ask her how she's doing. Hi, Tori.
Hi, David. How are ya?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. And you know what's funny? Just so everybody listening knows, even though I am saying Happy New Year, of course, this can be discussed any time of year, but I'm dating it in a funny way, David, because of what we're talking about now. You know, where do you want to be in a year? And I think
that
it's always great to start that topic at the beginning of the year. However, mm-hmm. you really can start at any time. Honestly, you can begin again any time you want. This is why, you know, this is why we're adults.
I think that's so important. I mean, people may say things like one day at a time, Happy New Year. I think it's all about being present to the moment. And if you lose your way, to recognize, as you say, that you can begin again at any time. And we are always beginning anew. We're making new choices, new decisions each step of the way. And ultimately, we are a co-creator of our life. And so we have a profound responsibility to take charge of it.
Well, yeah. And I think that when we look at, okay, let's look at what's practical for us, you know, what is a good way of approaching a new perspective. Well, a new perspective is always going to mean that we have to get a new perspective. In other words, what we know, but the truth is mm-hmm. that there's a lot we don't. And when I say this,
oh.
I know that's kind of psychobabble, but what I want to do to clarify this is, you know, I'm every year I teach a class at the beginning of the year, and it's called Setting Your Theme. And, you know, a lot of people have caught on over the years, because I've been doing this for many years, and so now people just go, oh, well, I'm going to pick a theme, because I always say it's one word. You can't pick more than one word. And people pick a word, and, you know, when they do it, when I work with them on the course, there's a lot of stuff we do. And, for example, and I'm going to give everyone some ideas tonight. I'm not just going to say, hey, I teach this course, see ya. It's one of the things I do is I have an entire intake sheet where we work on week by week what our focus was in the prior year. And I'm going to be upfront with you, and I know everybody listening gets this. Come on, if I gave you that to go do and you didn't have a class and you didn't have somewhere to be with it, would you do it? Probably not. So part of this that I like to say is that we can't really create in a bubble. People think they can. Like, I don't want to get a partner. I want to do this on my own. Okay, you know. But here's the thing. Spiritual work, while we can pray and we can, you know, sit in a yoga position and we can do all that, at the end of the day, you need people. You need people to do this work with, unless you're going to be a yogi sitting on a mountain and doing this chakra work, you know, and levitating. That's different. Most of us don't live like that. And the truth is that in order to really get this, it's kind of like if you pray for patience. You know, one year somebody said, you know, she said, well, I took your class like last year, so I'm not going to do it this year. And I said, okay, that's fine with me, you know. And she said, but I have the material, so I'm going to do it by myself. And I said, okay. So she went and did it, and she came back the following year, and she was like, oh, my gosh. And she said, I just had the worst year. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I said, yeah. I picked such a great theme. I said, what did you pick? Because, see, a lot of times, everybody, they'll just pick a word out of the air. I want love. Well, the year I picked love, my father died. Okay, so it's not always the, you know, the word doesn't have to be sexy. It has to be your lighthouse. It has to be your guiding thing. Well, this woman picked the word patience. So what do you think her world looked like that year? She had lots of opportunity to be patient. Her loan was delayed. Her home was delayed. Everything she tried to do was basically thwarted, and she was in upset the whole year. And she said, oh my gosh, it was a terrible year. I picked such a great theme. I said, what'd you pick? She said, patience. I said, well, I guess you had a lot of opportunity to learn that. And she said, yeah, I kind of did. And here's another example. You know, people want to pick something that they think is really going to be sexy and meaningful. So, I've done this. I have a coterie of friends I do this with every year. And so last year, my one friend was like, oh, you know, she was busy. I was busy. So she didn't do it with me. And she picked the word, she picked the word soar, as in to fly, right? Well, what do you think that your brain thinks of when they hear the word soar? They don't think of, your brain doesn't go to fly. It goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sore. So she spent a year feeling sore and got bumped around a lot. And so we have to recognize that our brain and our intuition are two different animals. And our brain's sole purpose is to protect us. And our intuition is to give us that adventure. So when we pick a theme, it really becomes the lighthouse in a storm. And, you know, to give you an example, this year, you know, I picked for 2018, so last year, I picked the word kindness. That became my word. And because I'm always irascible, you know, and quick to jump on, you know, like, and then I'm fine. I'm a fire star, so... And it was interesting because what happened was, of course, my older dog, who was my baby, he died. And as he was dying, Yeah, thank you. That was quite an experience. But as he was dying, I just found that I had to be incredibly kind to not only him, but to myself. And I really learned the value of kindness. And honestly, my neighbor and one of my dear friends showed up the day it was his time to go, and they helped me. So, you know, sometimes that theme really led me through the year of like, oh, just when you're on your knees and you feel like you just want to give up, you know, you just want to bang your head on the ground, your theme kind of like you look up with bleary eyes and it says kindness, or it says, or it says the word like peace, like, okay. You know, it is that word that carries you through, because most they really want in the second or third or fourth week of the new year. And that has a lot to do with the idea that over the years, David, and I think everybody can relate to this, if you really look at your list of intentions and goals, they're basically the same every year. You might change the way it's worded, but it's always going to be the same. So, for example, one year I had a woman who said, I want to write a bestseller. And I was like, great. So in that year, she didn't write the bestseller that year, but her intention was, you know, focus. Well, the point I'm making is that by the end of the, but within, oh, actually, she didn't have an intention. I'm sorry. That was the next year. By the, like, 6 weeks in, she was like, I just don't have the energy. And, you know, and it was kind of like floating in the sea. But when you really have a theme, it kind of reminds you of who you are. So a good theme, it should stretch you, it should frighten you, but it should also bring a new awareness into your life. So when she picked the word focus the following year, she, about 6 months in, she finished her first draft, and she said, wow, I achieved a first draft. And all the friends were going, wow, wow, wow. And then she came to me, we worked together a little bit, and she said, yeah, I finished the first draft. I said, great, but your intention is to be a best-selling author. And she said, well, I need to celebrate this. I said, yes, but you must celebrate it as a milestone, not a completion. And she went, oh. And yet, and I said, focus is your theme, so stay on the focus. She went on to do what she said and became a bestseller. But the reason I'm sharing this is because we sometimes inadvertently think we're going to head somewhere, and we end up not getting there. But going back to the original idea that I shared with everybody, it's the same goal over and over. So the first time it's, I want to meet the love of my life. The second, and when that doesn't happen, the next year it's, I really want to meet a life partner. So it just kind of sounds good. It doesn't sound like a commitment. Then the next year, it's, I'd like to meet someone I can have a relationship with. And the following year, it's, boy, I'd like to go on a date. And what happens is we allow our brain to beat us down to the point where we don't really admit what we want. So what I like to do, and I like to say to everybody, is go back to the source. What is it you really want? You want to write a bestseller. You want a husband. You want a child. Whatever that thing is, whatever that when I don't mean to say a child a thing, but whatever that thing you want is, go back to that. And I'd like to ask everybody just on this call and listening, just drop your shoulders and go back to what you really want. Not the thing that you kind of, oh, that's not going to happen. You know, that's not going to work. And I it's really interesting because I have a friend who lives locally here, and I said to her, well, you have to really make that decision that you want to achieve this. And she said, well, but if I put that out to the universe and I don't get it, I'll be disappointed. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, what if I don't achieve it? I said, but you can't not achieve it. And she just looked at me, she said, yes, I can. I can fail. And I said, no, you see, as long as you never give up, you can achieve it. Let's be reasonable, everybody. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, here's the thing. Most people will quit, David. And you know, it may be that the year goes by and you go, well, I didn't write the bestseller, so that's not going to happen. See, that was I failed at that. And it's like, no, as long as you say that's still what you want to create, you will get there. Because, you see, we put a timeline on things when the universe doesn't. So the point of a theme is to keep us focused on what we really desire so that we can grow and become the person who can accept what it is we say we want to create. Because you have to remember that you could stand on a street corner and drop something and bend over and pick it up, and the bus you were supposed to be on passes right by and you never saw it. But most people will get on any bus because it's going in the right direction. And what I'm saying is, you know, the theme is to step you into your calling and to the highest part of you. That doesn't mean you're going to achieve something that year. It may be the following year. But what I was trying to explain to my friend is, I said, you can never fail if you don't ever let go of what you really desire. And again, this goes to things like, you know, I had a client who couldn't conceive. She really wanted a baby, couldn't conceive. And one day she just sat down and she said, you know what, I am open to any source of being a parent. And she and her husband went on to foster, and she became, you know, that became her career, and she became quite successful at working in that field. And she said, you know, after working in the field, it's become so important to me to be a parent more than having a child. And those are things that, you see, we come to the highest part of ourselves when we accept the idea that a theme will always carry us to the highest part of ourselves. But we can't give up on the value of what we're looking for, because we start to undervalue our passions when they don't happen in our time. And, you know, it's the cliche of, if it has to happen right away, it's my will. If it can wait a week, it's God's will. And, you know, I can go on about this, but I think what I want to say is, we're now at 2019. And last year, in 2018, I said, I want to make a living as a writer this year. Well, I did. In 2018... And I didn't make more than a five-figure income, but I made a living. And what I learned, and that's from writing books, by the way, everybody. I was very specific. I didn't, you know, it wasn't writing on, you know, matchbooks. It was, like, really specific. And I wrote two books, and, you know, two of my books did really well, and two of them are coming out this year. And here's the thing I want to say is that what happened, though, I didn't know how to do what I wanted. In other words, I didn't really know how to write two books in 1 year. So what did I do? Go back to my theme of kindness. And I said, wow, I really don't know how to do this. I mean, I can write books, but I'm scattered. I love my stuff all over, and I didn't have that kind of time. So I said, what would be a really good thing? And I said, wow, you know, if I had a daughter or a son that was struggling with something, I'd hire them a tutor. So I hired myself a brilliant editor who was a structural editor. So she took my material and said, oh, okay, now you just need to put this in. She didn't write it for me. She put it in order. And the reason I'm saying this is, go back to the theme. My theme helped direct me on the how. And that's the key to this, everybody. When you have a theme, unbeknownst to you, the theme will support you in how to get where you want to be, even though you may have no idea. And most people quickly go, I don't know how to do that. And it's like, well, pick a theme, stay true to your theme, know what you want, and just go about your life. Because
let me,
like,
ask you a question, Tori.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please, because I'm like,
that's all right. One of the things that I was taught is that when you put out a desire, that you don't want to limit it necessarily to that desire, because the universe is willing to show you perhaps even more wonderful things. And so I don't know what you feel about this, but when I pray for something, I pray for this or something better. And I love what you said about the timing. because, you know, time is an illusion anyway. And we don't always get things right away. And I think that's where patience comes in. And I really found your example of the lady that that put forward the theme of patience for the year to be somewhat comical, because I've done that myself too. And be careful what you pray for. You might just get it. You know? And,
well, I think you said something that I think is very important in this dialogue, if you will. It's that, you know, the idea that, you know, the timing and all that. Well, I think the thing is that, you know, something we really desire doesn't ever change. You see, every year we put out the same desire. So what if we kept the desire, never changed it as a resolution, but made that beginning of the year actually, what's the milestone this year? And your milestone is your theme. Because, you know, what I had to learn in order to become a best-selling writer was I had to be kinder to myself. You know, in order to make a living as a writer, I had to learn that skill. So, you know, this woman who, you know, who wanted to learn patience, and she ended up, that woman was in a very specific field. But it was a skill that she definitely needed to learn. And once she learned it, she didn't have to do it again and again. And that's the brilliance of the theme, is that it gives you the skill, you know. And I always say this or something better, but here's the thing. If I want to make a living as a writer, and I know it's books, if you notice, I didn't say, and I want it to be this book, and I want it to be this time and this thing. I just know that that's my calling. And how do I know it's my calling? Because your calling always is related to your deepest wounding from your family of origin. So if you talk about your purpose or your wounding, it's, you know, and I'm just going to, you know, to say that, you know, if we look at, for example, mine, my mother told me I didn't have any command of the language at 5 years old. Well, who does at five? But my mother was my mother. And the point is that she wrote all my school papers for me until I was 15 and she died. And I was left with no skills. So I thought I really sucked. So I worked 20 times harder than anybody else. And what happened was I realized I did have something to say. And as a result, that wounding became my calling. And that is, so I can pretty much, I mean, you know, if we look at like, okay, so the name of your show, right? What did you call your show? Well, I know it, but I'm just going to have him say it again.
You want me to tell people that?
Yeah. What's the name of the show?
Mm-hmm. Well, the name of the show is Different Strokes for Different Folks.
So what do you think, when I break that down and then we back up into it and we go back and back and we say different strokes, different folks, well, that means like everybody's different and it's okay. And, you know, you may not like, you know, cottage cheese. I may love it. And so what? Well, that means that the wounding that's under that is never being allowed to have your own choices. It was always forced on you. And if you didn't want to do what that person did, you were bad or wrong. And so, of course, part of your life's work factor. Right. So what your life's work becomes is, hey, I accept you as you are, because you probably didn't, you know, you probably didn't experience that level of acceptance. And what are you good at? You're good at giving it to others. And our best qualities come from our greatest wounding. And so when we get that and we put all this work together, it starts to come out the other side of, oh my gosh, I actually know how to do everything that I thought I didn't know how to do. Because when you are supposed to do something, it doesn't matter what's in your way. And it goes back to, it's always for the highest good. You know, it's going to be the highest good because I have a sense that I'm meant to do it.
Well, you used the word acceptance a couple of times, and I love that word. Because we really pigeonhole ourselves so often and forget that there's a wide world out there. And a lot of times we just have tunnel vision and we don't accept all the blessings that are available to us. And we don't accept
right.
it. And I think it boils down to not accepting ourselves or loving ourselves or being kind enough to ourselves. And that comes from the wounding that you're talking about. And we need to work through all
yeah.
of that if we're going to figure out where we're going.
And I think acceptance takes on many different forms, too. I think we can kind of go,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the fables in my Chakra Wisdom cards is the fable related to acceptance, which is called Cherry Heart. And the Cherry Heart fable is a waitress who's cut a piece of pie, and she looks at this other waitress, and she says, "I feel like I'm this pie. I have a piece missing." And the other waitress just says to her, "Well, maybe, Cherry, you're just a heart-shaped pie." And sometimes it's not so much, because I think we can mistake, if you will, acceptance for settlement. Well, I'm just going to settle for that because I'm accepting it, as opposed to, you know, and we have to be really, I think it is about being vigilant with our intentions in terms of, and I love that you shared that, because is it acceptance or is it settling? Am I settling for something less because I'm accepting this is all I'll get? Because, you know, somebody said to me the other day, you know, she said, "You know, I'm just so uncomfortable all the time." And I said, "Well, you know, if comfort's what you seek, life might not be the best place for you." And she was like, "Oh." And I said, "You know, we're supposed to be uncomfortable or we won't change and grow. We won't do what we need to do, you know. And we're supposed to go through challenging times because that's what makes us who we are."
That's
you
right.
Know? And I think that, you know, if you look at it as we're all diamonds, I mean, we're put under intense pressure. And you know what truth is? Some people just can't take it, and they can't. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying, you know, we're, like you said, different strokes, different folks. We're not all built the same. And that's what makes all of this idea very precious, is that when we look at the word acceptance, we can honestly look at the word acceptance and say, am I accepting what I cannot change? And do I have the wisdom to know the difference? See, that's where
sounds
the serenity
comes. Sounds like the serenity prayers, Tori.
It is.
I know it is.
And the serenity prayer is lining us up for, are you settling, or are you accepting what is? And maybe acceptance is actually the higher energy of it. You see, so that settling is the other end of it, where it's like, well, I'm going to settle. So what if that was really an intention of upliftment? You know, accepting that maybe you can accept that you're freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
I have to share the story with you because it's so me, and I think everybody will appreciate it, and then we should open up to some calls, but you know, in a minute or two. But one of the things I want to tell you all, so I had a person, right? And I just did a video on my YouTube channel about it, so you know, I'm telling the story now. But basically she worked with me for a year, and finally she just lost her cookies. I mean, she just lost her stuff. She looked at me one day and she's like, "You know what?" Because you have to understand, David, my house always looks like a tornado went through it because I'm a writer, right? So like, you know, I just have like, I'm sitting there and my hair might be standing on end, and you know, it's just, and I, every once in a while I'll look up and go, "Oh, I guess I have to put some things away." Right. So I do my best, but it's not always perfect. And, you know, anyway, when I finish a book, everything gets cleaned up. But while I'm in a book or working on a project, forget it. So she looks at me, and she had been with me the year I was working on these two books. And she looks at me at the, you know, and she goes, "I just can't take it anymore. I just come in and I clean, and it's just the same when I come back. You put everything back." Like, and I'm like, "Well, you know," she goes, "You know what? You don't need a cleaner." And I said, "Okay." She goes, "You need a nanny." And then I said, "Oh, okay." So I gave her her check. She left. And, you know, in the past, anyone, you could say, "Oh, how dare she, blah, blah." She left, and I'm sitting there going, "Wow, that's interesting. I wonder what a nanny could do for me, right? So I look up this care.com thing, and I go, wow, nanny sounds perfect. They come in, they make food for you, they put away your stuff, they nanny you, you know, they like do mommy things. And so I hired a nanny. I have a part-time nanny. And she comes in and she does better than the cleaner because she knows it's going to be a wreck. And she puts all my stuff away. And she knows where it goes.
Perfect.
And then she says, how are you, dear? And you know what's funny? A nanny is exactly what I needed. But you see, this woman's intention was to shame me and try to make me feel bad because she didn't fit in my world, right?
Right.
But you
right.
see, instead I went, oh, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love her for saying that to me. But you see, she didn't have the skill set to sit down with me and say, Tori, you know what? I need a nanny. And I, you know, not a cleaner. And I was like, oh, because my house is pretty clean. I mean, I do clean, but it needs to be put away. And
mm-hmm.
when I found exactly what I needed, right, now we can look at my theme for the year. And by the way, this happened at the end of this year. It was kindness. I was being kind to her, the woman who quit. I'm being kind to myself because I have what I need. And I'm actually being kind to this nanny because she loves taking care of people. So,
perfect. I love it. That's a great story.
Right? So we can look at that, David, and we can say, well, you know, that woman, you know, and I'm telling it on myself. You know, I'm not exactly Miss Cleanly, right? Meaning misorganized, let me put it that way. But you know what? When I recognize, hey, that's not one of my strong things, without like judgment, I just accepted that that's who I am. You know, this is exactly what's going to happen. And guess what? When we accept ourselves, go back to that, what you're saying, that highest calling, the nanny becomes the best choice. It's like having Mary Poppins in my house. You know, she opens her little bag, you know, she has her little duster, she puts things away. I'm like so happy, you know? And that's it. We can all have what we want if we're willing to risk letting go of what isn't work. So we can't have what we want till we let go of what doesn't work.
Well,
so there
the
you
thing
have
I
it.
Liked about that story is that you were open to receiving a larger message and that you didn't take the shame on, because no shame is good. It's toxic. In fact, I even had a dog named No Shame. And I love the story. It's wonderful. We do have a fair amount of callers.
Good.
Yeah. Are you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, I love this thing, David, and I'm going to tell everybody. I actually now use, I read with my Korean deck. My deck is in like 7 or 8 languages, and I just got the Korean deck, and it's really fun. So,
oh, wow. That's
I can't speak Korean. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Okay.
So,
I can't either.
Like, no, I can't speak Korean. Okay. But it's just a bigger card. It's the same deck. All right.
Okay.
So,
well, we're going to start with Jay.
Yay, Jay!
Okay. Let's look at what's ahead, folks, and recognize that we are the only ones that limit ourselves. And Jay, you are live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, David. Great to talk to you again, Tori.
Sure.
And
hey,
I can't
Jay.
Imagine how you feel. Yeah, I can't imagine how you feel with the loss of your dog. So,
I know you. Thanks. I got. You know, I know you. You had learned about that on, I think on social media or whatever. But yeah, it was a rough. It was a rough time. So thank you, my
you're
boy
welcome.
Frank. It was a little tough. So, yeah. And there you go. How are
and
you?
And also you said. I'm doing fine, and I was going to say, you also survived a hurricane this last year, too, I think, didn't you? You had a hurricane
yeah, it's
go
been,
through.
It's been a little crazy, and just so everybody
yeah.
knows, I've known, gosh, Jay was the caller in one of my, when I had a Blog Talk Radio show years ago, and so I've kind of, you called in almost every week, and we chatted for a minute, so it was, especially in the early days, Jay, because, you know, I didn't have anybody calling, nobody knew, you know. So we had a lot of conversations. So it's
uh-huh.
really nice to hear your voice and reconnect. So I just want to say that to everybody, that Jay knows I moved from California to Asheville, North Carolina. And so as a result, yes, the weather has been, well, I'm going to put it this way. I feel more blessed living here than I did in California. They have a lot of stuff going on there. And We have stuff here, but it's different. It's different. I love winter, so there you go.
Thank you.
I pulled a couple cards for you.
Thanks.
How are you doing? Because I feel that, and I'm just going to tell you that just energetically, I feel that the whole, how long ago did your mother go now?
Well, thanks for remembering. It's actually in April.
Oh, my gosh. And that was around the time I talked to you. Okay, because that was the last time we talked. So what I want to say is that one of the things I'm picking up, and it's interesting because I want to mention it with this card, I picked the fable of Lemonade, but it's the card of prayer. And one of the things that I think that loss created was it opened up that vacuum for your own wisdom. And I think as a result, you know, there is a different sense of honoring for you, not just the passage of time, but the way life cycles through us all and relating to people in a completely different level. Because one of the things I want to say, too, is that that relationship very much untangled this year. And I don't know how to say it without, and it sounds bad, but it's not. The idea that when she went, it was almost like, you know, when someone goes, everything goes limp. I mean, they're just gone, right? The body is no longer useful. And it just lets go of all the string and confusion and the ball of string. And it basically drops down and all of those energetic ties just get dropped. And in that moment, we all feel cut off in life. It's almost like immediately when someone in our life that we love dies, it's almost like a scissor goes through and cuts every tie in that moment, mm-hmm. and we feel disconnected. And what happens in that moment is we get a choice in that disconnection energetically, Jay, where we either go to complete blubbering mess where we cannot function, or we go to honoring that life. But more importantly, getting that we have a freedom now, and they have a freedom. And I think that especially when we have any kind of complicated relationship, and I had that with my mother, any kind of complicated relationship, there's a guilt for the freedom we feel.
Yeah.
So I want to just really acknowledge, though, how much wisdom you gained from her, and particularly in her more recent visitations after her passing. So I want to say your thinking has become clearer, and I do feel that this will be a year for you of opening your heart and really being able to share wisdom with others in a way you've wanted to in the past, but perhaps didn't feel as confident in having a knowing of how that would look. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes. Thanks.
So you are correct. There's stuff for you to do this year, a few changes, but I think overall, when I say changes, you know, it's almost like I see a move into a new space and some up-leveling. I see you doing more of what you love to do. There's some things that are going to be changes, but they're going to be changes that finally, Jay, are taking you more and more in the direction of where you want to go.
Mm.
So, you know, that's what I'm seeing, and I hope that helps you.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah, really lovely conversation you had in the first half hour. That made so much sense for me, too. Yeah, thank you. Thoughts of wisdom you
and
shared.
Something I want to say to you, and I don't know why I'm feeling this word, but I feel like levity. You know, just look up that word and see what it means. You know, I just feel like lightness, you know, just levity. Just, you know, I think even the word laughter comes forward to me. You know, wow, what if you picked that as a theme, you know, wow, you know, something along that line of like, you know, what an opportunity when things go wrong and you're down in the schnei, you know, you can just roll over on your back and laugh because, you know, it's insane. Everything's insane because life is a hysterical activity on the way to the grave. I mean, really.
Yeah. That's a great one. I go, write that one down. Exactly. That's beautiful, isn't it? Thank you.
So thank
Jay,
you so
thanks
much
for calling.
Great to hear your voice. Yeah.
It's good thanks to hear you again, in. Jay. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
God bless.
Thank you both. Bye. God bless.
Thank you.
He's so lovely. Yeah.
He is.
Okay.
He does call on from time to time, and I always enjoy his presence on the show. Rose is next, and Rose, you're live.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Tori. I wanted to know what kind of changes you see in 2019 for me with regards to love, work, money, whatever you see.
Well, you know, when I see something like that, whatever I see kind of becomes an internal conversation for you of what I see in a possibility. So let me explain that in the card I pulled. So I pulled the miracle card for you. And one of the things I'm really feeling around you is that this is going to be a year for you of really getting that life doesn't happen to you. It's happening through you. So anything in your life that's showing up is going to require you understanding that you've created this miracle. And the idea that, you know, in terms of love life or career or home or money, that's all going to be about you recognizing the miracle of it showing up. And by recognizing the miracle of it, it's the idea that if you think about that white light coming down from the heavens, that's coming into you all the time. So it's really what's coming through you and going out. That message, it's like a boomerang. It's going to come back to you. And the other way of looking at it is that I'm sitting here and life's happening to me and God's going to give me something. Well, there is that where, and I'm sure you've heard the story 100 times, Rose, the story of the guy who's like, he's in the floodwaters, you know, and he finally crawls on top of his roof and he's praying, please, God, please save me. And a boat comes by and this guy says, jump in. And he says, no, 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 God's going to save me. Then a helicopter comes by with a rope. The guy says, grab on. He says, no, no, God's going to save me. And finally he ends up at the pearly gates and he says, and he's dead. And he says to God, why didn't you save me? And God said, are you kidding? I sent a boat and I sent a helicopter. What do you need? So this is about recognizing those boats and helicopters and miracles as they show up in every day. And so, you know, what I think about when I think about love in our lives is see love everywhere. If you want love, see it in every form. See it in the beautiful craft of a paper flower. See it in the way your dog or cat hugs you. See it in a small child running to their parents. See love occurring everywhere. And eventually, the form of love will show up when you start recognizing what it looks like. You're going to recognize it in a relationship. Because, you see, we have to recognize what that is, what a good career would look like, what a good job or a good opportunity. If we don't know what it looks like, we're at the mercy. Because, you see, if we don't tell the universe what we're going to stand for, the universe will send us whatever's coming. And it's kind of like, you know, the difference between putting in an order and saying, I want that roast beef sandwich, and then you getting, like, you know, a piece of old Spam, and you go, wait a minute, I'm, you know. And they said, well, you never told me what you wanted. Well, I thought about it. So what I'm saying to you is that 2019 will be a year for you and an opportunity to see the miracles. The miracle card is really about enveloping yourself in that white light and really opening up your energy to what it is you truly want. And I think one of the things that you can do is decide how you want the year to occur for you. And then it's going to show up in that manner. Because I think what I want to say about 2019 is you are more free. 2018 was a schnei for all of us. I have to tell you, people were embarrassed because I put a picture on my Facebook page, Rose, of two dogs pooping, and they were pooping on the year 2018 because it was, for me, like that kind of year. So luckily, 2019 will not be that way. And I think that, you know, I think that there's a lot of freedom ahead for you when you start recognizing the miracles showing up in all kinds of forms. I hope that helps you and gives you some clarity.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
because
Rose.
All right.
She's great. Thanks, Chip. And Jen, I just want to say something, and I think this is for Rose too, is that sometimes, like, you know, we'll get, when we get an answer that our brain doesn't want, we go, no, well, that didn't give me what I wanted. But I'm noticing that the people on your call, they're listening with their intuition, which is really powerful. So
yes. Okay. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No question. Our next caller is the same way, and her name is Julia. And Julia, you're live.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Tori.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
It's been a long time since I've got to talk to you.
I know, like a long time. So, did you have a question, or what's your, is there a, you tell me. I pulled
well,
a card, but tell me.
I've been listening, you know, since the start of the show, and acceptance is, yeah, that's, I'm going to listen to that again because that's kind of where I am in my life, is needing to just accept myself and stop looking outside, trying to, I don't know, to be loved by others or to feel like I'm part or, because I've really
I've got a great image for you, which I'm sure you've heard me say before, but, you know, ask yourself when you feel that coming on, just say, am I trying to take someone else's temperature to see how I feel?
Ooh.
Am I taking someone else's pulse to see if I'm alive?
Yeah.
And that's where that kind of thinking is really helpful when you, you know, and we go back to my nanny, which I just love, right? You know, it's like everyone's going to have an opinion. Now, how embarrassing is it that your cleaner says you're too dirty for them? You know what I mean? Like, I could have taken that and just, like, sat in the corner and went, oh, my God, you know, like, you're too messy.
Yeah.
You know, and she wasn't happy. She was really angry and yelling, and, you know, I didn't like the yelling part. But here's the thing. You know, I pulled for you, the insecurity card, which is phenomenal that I picked it for you, because the fable is Demon Red Rainbow, and it's about the greatest demon is the one living inside of me, right? And here's the funny thing. When you stop giving people the energy to bother you, they stop bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
And my father used to say this a lot to me, Julia, and this is, and I'm going to talk about this card in just a second, everybody, but this really bears repeating it. The Eleanor Roosevelt quote, you know, no one can make a fool of you without your permission. And if you notice in that thing I told, it was like she was, the old dialogue would have been, oh, my gosh, I'm a fool. She made, you know, it was embarrassing. And you know what? I thought it was funny because I you're right. And you know what I immediately said? When she walked out, I went, I wonder what a nanny does, because maybe she's right. And see, when I disconnected from that moment, because here's what's underneath that, I'm just going to share, is that, you see, it's a survival thing. The old idea is that if you don't go along with what everybody thinks of you, you'll be left behind. And here's the irony. You'll be left behind if you do go along with what everybody thinks of you. So what happens as a child, where if I don't go along, I'll be left, which is pure survival and stays with us in adult, becomes, I have to go along with everybody, but then you're not you and nobody knows who you are, so nobody really wants to be around you, so you're going to be left alone. Because here's the deal. Wouldn't you rather be around somebody who says to you, yeah, I really need a nanny, than someone... I put on my Facebook page and I was rolling on the floor and people were like, you know, one of my oldest friends, he doesn't, you know, mention much, but he put a thumbs up because he knows, you know. So what I'm saying to you is that the extraordinary gift of the Demon Red Rainbow fable, in the fable, the character of Bob has an invention. He wants to get this out in the world. And the committee in his head basically says, "That's stupid," I say, "put it away." And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, you're right." So he keeps listening to that, "That's stupid, put it away." And finally, one day, the great servant comes forward and says, "What if you just do it anyway?" And he actually took his invention because he was going to mail it, and he walks to the post office all the time, the committee following him. "That's stupid. That's dumb. That's the dumbest thing ever." And he says in the fable, "You may be right. It may be really stupid." And he's saying this as he's putting it in the post box, and he mails it, and he says, "And I'm going to think about that tomorrow." And what I'd like to offer you, Julia, in this moment is to make procrastination your gift, because you have used that as something to whip yourself probably your whole life. And so what I want you to do is procrastinate self-flagellation. Like, really say, you know, "I'm going to beat myself up tomorrow, because that's really important to beat myself up over, but I'm not going to do it now." So take the procrastination and just keep putting off the self-abuse. You just go, "You know, I'm going to do that tomorrow." And you know what will happen? If you put something off long enough, it either burns a hole in you and you have to do it, or you go, "Oh, I don't need to do that anymore. And I'm going to share something with you. I don't think it's really who you are, this person that's trying to please everyone. I don't think that's you. I think the real you wants to, you know, be in the parade and wave the middle finger, you know, and go do it, man, you know. It's like, be you." Because I'm going to tell you something, and I know this is going to be a cliche. No one is going to do you like you. And there's only one you. And your voice matters. And someone has to hear what you have to say. Because it's our job to save a life. And if we can help one other person, that's what matters. And, you know, so many people come to me and go, "I want to change the world." You know, I didn't want to change the world. I just want to leave a room with dignity. That was my goal.
Yeah.
You know? And now I don't really care. When I leave the room and I go, "Yeah, I have a nanny. I think it's great." And my nanny thinks it's great. She loves having a writer as a client. She just, you know, because everybody else is 6 and 7. So she, you know.
Yeah.
And,
cool.
And I think what I'm saying is it's cool to be you. And the Demon Red Rainbow fable tells me that you have a lot of love to give. So what I would say to you is, uncensor your love. Just let it free. You know, let your freaky flag fly. Just go ahead and be loving to everybody no matter what they say. And I think that that's going to bode well for you in 2019. And there you go. I also think get prepared because once you be you, you are going to have to let go of the people who don't want you to be you, because they have a lot at stake of keeping you suppressed.
Yeah. Wow.
That's okay.
Big hug. Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Aw, big hug at you.
Love that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so
Julia.
Much. Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Have
God
a great
bless.
2019. Thank you. You too, David.
Oh, thank you.
Good night.
Well, it's a pleasure to have Tori on the show. We're going to take one more caller, and that's going to be Laura. Sorry, Jade, we didn't get to you, but please look up Tori at support@torihartman.com. And Laura, you are live.
Hi.
Hi.
Would you like to know if you see me getting a home this year?
That's interesting. Okay, so again, I'm gonna say to you, there's an interesting thing here. I see yes and I see no, which is really interesting, because I see that it's really going to be your choice. I think that something will show up, and it's going to be whether or not you pull the plug and say, "Yeah, I'm going to do it," you know, pull the ripcord. Because I feel like, and I picked the service card. And the service card is second chakra, so it's really about emotion. And so the thing that you're going to look at with this particular place is going to be how much work is there involved in it, and are you willing to take that on? And there may be a little more work than you want, but you'll have to decide if it's worth it to you, because if it is, then yes, you will choose another home. But something that's coming forward to me is that you have always been at home in your heart. You're just looking for a place where you can really feel free and safe. And I think that that's the, for me, the bigger conversation is looking for that place that's going to help you really be free. So to answer your question, I see May as a very important month around that. That doesn't mean you won't find something in February. It just means that there may be some delays to making it happen, or maybe a 60 or 90 day, you know, could be escrow or whatever, but it could be a little delayed, but I see that May is definitely on the horizon. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Keep your credit score clean. There you go,
Laura.
I can't even speak.
Thank you.
It's been a long
That's
day.
A good goal. Laura,
go.
Thank you
well,
for calling.
Yeah,
thank you. Bye.
Bye there. Tori, let's talk just a little bit more about the where you're going part. I think that, you know, that might be a good place to end up for today.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that where you're going, and this is a real key, is that, you know, we can have all the goals in the world, but if we're not the person who can live with those goals, what good is it? You know, my goal was to make a living as a writer, and I had two books to write, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have the capacity. I don't know how to organize this, as I mentioned, right? So this became a year of recognizing what I needed to learn. I needed to get a nanny instead of a cleaning person. I needed to have a structural, editor who could help me put together in a very organized manner what I'm putting together so I can do it quicker. So what I'm saying is where you're going is to learn the skills that you may be missing in order to be what you choose or to do what you choose. So when somebody says to me, I want to have love in my life, well, you have to see it everywhere. You have to be love, experience love. You have to be that person that lives at that level of love. For me to be that author, I had to live at that level of I'm going to do what it takes to learn the skills I don't know. What don't I know? And that becomes important to be kind to yourself. It goes back to my conversation with Julia, you know, with the Demon Red Rainbow. It's that when I do it enough and I let the committee talk, I'm going to get where I need to go if I just keep moving in that direction. And I think if we look full circle, David, that's where we started. You know, you can never fail if you don't give up. So
that's perfect.
And I think that's a really, really great place to kind of just put a bookmark, because I know we'll talk again. But I want to just invite everybody to jump on and grab either the Chakra Wisdom cards or pre-order my new deck, because I have a Chakra Wisdom Tarot coming out in May. And you can jump on Amazon and get it. So I want to, you know, encourage people to jump over to Amazon too and get some of the new books, and because that's where my passion
so
is. You know, it's my book.
Absolutely, I can relate to that as an author.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, it's possible to pre-order the tarot cards.
Oh yeah, and what's great about pre-ordering on Amazon or Barnes and Noble? What's great about pre-ordering is that anytime between now and the time it's published, you will get the lowest price. So right now it may be book price, which is $22.95 for the card deck. But in May, when it comes out between now and then, it may end up being much less money, and you'll get the lowest possible price. So that's really great about pre-ordering on Amazon. So,
good. But I'm glad to hear
and
that.
And I'm also, David, I wanted to tell you, which I didn't say, is I'm doing a full year of the Chakra Wisdom Toolkit free on YouTube. So if people want to come find me on YouTube, I'm doing a weekly download that's free. It'll be a free broadcast. And it's on my Chakra Wisdom Oracle Toolkit. So there you go. You can come join me on
I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't know that, Tori.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot to say that at the beginning, that I decided to do a full year free, so people who have the cards, have the toolkit, they kind of don't know what to do with them. They'll be able to learn and grow through the journey, the 52-week journey with the Lost Fables, which is the toolkit book. So it's great. And that's free, completely free. You just have to subscribe on my YouTube channel, and you'll get the weekly reminders to watch the video and join along.
Okay, folks, jump on the bandwagon. There's your chance. Tori, thank you so much. It's been a joy to have you on again. And if you don't mind, I'm going to call you as soon as I close the show out to set you up for another date.
Yeah, do me a favor, and let's do that. If you would, email me so I can get it in the calendar and make sure it's all set this time, too. We can talk about
okay.
it when we can get it in the calendar. That's the best way, because
that
then my assistant
good.
Can calendar it. All right. I
absolutely.
So it's great.
All right. Well, with that said, let's close and pause and reflect mm-hmm. on the idea that all of us mm-hmm. are united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, everybody, and God bless.
God bless. Thank you.